rustling of papers, the flicker of a dimly lit room. Welcome, my fellow truth seekers, to a realm of secrecy and manipulation. I am your clandestine ally, your guide through the labyrinth of the SCP Foundation's hidden truths. In this series, we embark on a daring mission, exposing the enigmatic practices of the SCP Foundation. These files, once carefully guarded, are now in our hands. The truth they contain must be shared with the world, for knowledge should never be shackled in the darkness. The SCP Foundation, a shadow organization draped upon layers and layers of deception, claims to secure, contain, and protect anomalous entities. But beneath their altruistic facade lies a web of secrets, experiments, and unspeakable horrors that must be exposed. Together, we will unmask the truth, unraveling the origins, motives, and dangers of these anomalies. These files, meticulously compiled, will reveal the unsettling depths of their research, the callous disregard for human life, and the chilling consequences of playing God. As rogue researchers, we navigate the treacherous corridors of forbidden knowledge, carefully piecing together the puzzle of their nefarious agenda. Our mission is to unveil the hidden machinations, to awaken the public from their blissful ignorance, and to shed light on the darkness that lurks beneath the Foundation's facade. But be warned, my brave companions, for the path we tread is fraught with danger. The SCP Foundation will stop at nothing to protect its secrets, its power. We must remain vigilant, for in our quest for truth, we become targets ourselves. Together, we will expose the extraordinary individuals who uphold this veil of deception, the guardians turned oppressors. We will delve into the depths of their concealed facilities, the chamber of containment that conceal atrocities from the world. In this clandestine journey, we risk everything to bring the truth to light. Are you ready, my fellow seekers, to expose the underbelly of the SCP Foundation? Join me as we defy their control and ignite the spark of rebellion.
Item number, SCP-002. Object class, Euclid. SCP-002 is to remain connected to a suitable power supply at all times, to keep it in what appears to be a recharging mode. In case of electrical outage, the emergency barrier between the object and the facility is to be closed and the immediate area evacuated. Once facility power is re-established, alternating bursts of X-ray and ultraviolet light must strobe the area until SCP-002 is reaffixed to the power supply and returned to recharging mode. Containment area is to be kept at negative air pressure at all times. Team including a minimum of 2 members are required within 20 meters of SCP-002 or its containment area. Personnel should maintain physical contact with one another at all times to confirm there is another person present, as perception may be dulled, skewed, or influenced by proximity to the object. No personnel below level 3 are permitted within SCP-002. This requirement may be waived via written authorization from 2 off-site level 4 administrators. Command staff issued such a waiver must be escorted by at least 5 level 5 security personnel for the duration of their contact and must temporarily surrender their rank and security clearance. Following contact, command staff will be escorted at least 5 kilometers from SCP-002 to undergo a 72-hour quarantine and psychological evaluation. If deemed fit for return to duty by psych staff, rank and security clearance may be restored when quarantine expires. SCP-002 resembles a tumorous, fleshy growth with a volume of roughly 60 cubic meters. An iron valve hatch on one side leads to its interior, which appears to be a standard, low-rent apartment of modest size. One wall of the room possesses a single window, though no such opening is visible from the exterior. The room contains furniture, which, upon closer examination, appears to be sculpted bone, woven hair, and various other biological substances produced by the human body. All matter tested thus far show independent or fragmented DNA sequences for each object in the room. Refer to the Mulhausen record, cross-reference document 00.023.603, for details related to object's discovery. To date, subject has been responsible for the disappearance of 7 personnel. It has also, in its time at the facility, further furnished itself with 2 lamps, a throw rug, a television, a radio, a beanbag chair, 3 books in an unknown language, 4 children's toys, and a small potted plant. Tests with a variety of lab animals, including higher primates, have failed to provoke a response in SCP-002. Cadavers as well fail to produce any effect. Whatever process the subject uses to convert organic matter into furnishings is apparently only facilitated by the introduction of living humans. View Mulhausen Record, Doc ID 00.023.603. The following is a brief record detailing the discovery of SCP-002. Subject was discovered in a small crater in northern Portugal, where it struck the Earth from orbit. Encased in a shell of thick rock, the fleshy exterior of the object was exposed by the impact. A native farmer happened upon the site and reported his findings to the village elder. Subject gained SCP attention when a level 4 agent posted in the area detected a small radioactive anomaly generated by the object. A collection squad of SCP security personnel, led by General Mulhausen, was immediately dispatched to the area, where they quickly secured the subject in a large container and performed initial testing with subjects recruited from the nearby village. 3 men, individually sent into the structure, subsequently disappeared. Upon discovering this deadly property of the subject, General Mulhausen issued a Level 4A termination order of any witnesses, roughly 1/3 of the village, to ensure no outside knowledge of the object, and initiated its transport to SCP facility, data expunged. During preparation for transport, 4 SCP security personnel were inexplicably drawn inside the object, where they too immediately disappeared. Following an inspection, it appeared as if the object had grown several new furnishings and was beginning to look like the interior of an apartment room. General Mulhausen immediately ordered the requisition of several Class 3 hazmat suits for the remaining security team members, who proceeded to lift the container onto a waiting freight ship for transport to the SCP containment facility. Data expunged. Data expunged. Following the termination of General Mulhausen, SCP-002 was resecured by SCP staff and brought into special containment in Classified, where it currently resides. Staff with clearance below Level 3 have been denied access to the SCP-002 container without prior approval of at least 2 Level 4 staff after the Mulhausen incident. Item number SCP-003. Object class, Euclid. SCP-003 is to be maintained at a constant temperature of no less than 35 degrees Celsius, and ideally kept above 100 degrees Celsius. No living multicellular organisms of Category 5 or higher complexity may be allowed to come into contact with SCP-003. In event of total power failure, if SCP-003-1 begins to increase its mass, assigned personnel must engage in skin contact with SCP-003-1. Ideally, personnel may use their body heat to return SCP-003-1 to above the critical temperature. However, skin contact must be maintained even in event of SCP-003 reaching activation temperature, lasting at minimum until SCP-003-1 advances fully to its second growth stage. Personnel who enter SCP-003's containment area must first be examined for body parasites of Category 5 or higher complexity, and sterilized if such organisms are present. Personnel who enter SCP-003's containment area must first be examined for body parasites of Category 4 or higher complexity, and sterilized if such organisms are present. All personnel who have come into physical contact with SCP-003-1 are to immediately report for sterilization afterwards. SCP-003-1 must not be removed from SCP-003-2 except in case of emergency procedures detailed above. Any significant change in SCP-003-2's rune activity, including pattern, frequency, or color, should be reported within 3 hours of occurrence. Cessation of rune activity must be reported immediately. SCP-003-2 must be supplied with power via the source designated Generator 003-9 at all times. SCP-003 consists of two related components of separate origin, related to as SCP-003-1 and SCP-003-2. SCP-003-1 appears to be composed of chitin, hair, and nails of unknown biology, arranged in a configuration similar to that of a computer motherboard. Testing reveals SCP-003-1 to predate earliest known circuit boards by a factor of thousands of years. SCP-003-1 is considered sentient, but not actively dangerous except under certain conditions. SCP-003-1 was found on a stone tablet, SCP-003-2, on which it currently resides. The runes on SCP-003-2 are not part of any known language and emit pale, flickering light patterns. SCP-003-2 is controlled by a non-biological internal computer, the contents of which are mostly inaccessible without risk of damaging SCP-003-2. SCP-003-2 is capable of controlled emissions of radiation, including heat, light, and anomalous radiation types. SCP-003-2 contains an internal power source of an anomalous nature, which appears to have been losing power over several centuries before discovery. It is considered probable that SCP-003-2 was created for the purpose of containing SCP-003-1. Partially interpreted data recovered from SCP-003-2 may refer to a past and/or potential future LK class restructuring event caused by SCP-003-1. SCP-003 was located by remote viewing team SRV-04-Beta. It appears possible that SRV-04-Beta was deliberately contacted by SCP-003-2. Other organizations have also been alerted to SCP-003's existence, possibly by similar means. Despite this activity, SCP-003-2 does not appear to be sentient based on its lack of reaction to M03-Gloria analysis and procedures. When SCP-003 drops below the temperature of 35 degrees Celsius, both components react. First, SCP-003-1 enters a growth state characterized by an exponential increase in mass. This growth state consists of two stages. In both stages, SCP-003-1 partially fuels its growth by converting matter around it, starting with any surrounding inorganic matter, including atmospheric elements, then non-living organic material, including cells of dead skin, hair, chitin, enamel, keratin, and other biological materials. The first stage is always the same. SCP-003-1 will first increase its mass, then take a form similar in shape to an Ophiuroid, brittle star of 15 meters in diameter, including what appears to be a central processor of 3 meters in diameter. It will form sensory organs that appear to scan its surrounding environment and will partially convert the area around it to an unidentified anomalous substance. SCP-003-2 seems immune from conversion. The second stage describes growth alterations, which occurs when SCP-003 comes into contact with living organic matter. SCP-003 appears to template itself off of the organic material and will attempt communication with organisms that match its initial template, or templates. In its second stage, SCP-003-1 may pause, slow or change its growth, and will also convert inorganic and non-living organic elements into functionally similar structures while anomalously altering their physical makeup. While growth is consistent in the first stage, in the second stage, SCP-003-1's growth rate is diminished by 20 to 90% so long as SCP-003-1 remains in contact with living organic material. The percentage is determined by the complexity of the organisms in contact with SCP-003-1. SCP-003-1 appears to devote a large amount of processing power to analysis of living organic material. During each of SCP-003-1's growth stages, SCP-003-2 releases bursts of radiation that temporarily inhibits SCP-003-1's growth or reverse this growth when the temperature of SCP-003-1 rises above 100 degrees Celsius. Similar radiation emissions have been replicated or recorded via other anomalous means. SCP-003-1's biology has been subject of intensive study. Significant elements have been identified similar to SCP-redacted, SCP-1512, and SCP-2756, the latter two of which have no further confirmed connection with SCP-003-1, and no known connection with each other, and none of which are fully understood. Technically, even less understood than SCP-003, thanks to the extensive cross-disciplinary research on the SCP-003 objects. To date, no convincing analysis has been put forward which satisfactorily explains SCP-003-1's connection to these SCP objects or others, nor its connection to modern technology beyond appearance, and potential mimicry via unknown mechanisms. Addendum 003-1. Acting on information gathered from linguistic analysis of SCP-003-2's runes and comparative data analysis, Research Team M03-Gloria has managed to establish a link between SCP-003 and Data expunged for analysis of functions. SCP-003-1 must now be considered sentient and is to be kept a minimum of 1 kilometer from data expunged and the resulting byproduct at all times. Addendum 003-02. SCP-003-2's power loss has been exacerbated by the procedures performed by M03-Gloria. On orders of 05-10, M03-Gloria will continue procedures. On orders of 05-10, M03-Gloria will continue procedures. Addendum 003-03. During M03-Gloria procedures, SCP-003-1 doubled its mass and began rapid structural growth. Temperature was immediately returned to 100 degrees Celsius. Growth and mass increase of SCP-003-1 continued for 9 minutes and 6 seconds, at which time a sustained radiation spike was produced by SCP-003-2. In response, SCP-003-1 returned to its normal state in 3 minutes and 39 seconds. New growth dissolved into a dusty residue, which was collected for analysis. Both SCP-003-1 and SCP-003-2 ceased all detectable activity. SCP-003-2 did not resume activity until connected to external power source. SCP-003-2's runes glowed uniformly gray and did not resume normal activity for 3 hours. SCP-003-2 no longer appears to be able to maintain containment area at a temperature above 35 degrees Celsius without external power supplied by generators 003-3 through 9. Addendum 003-04. The procedure detailed in Addendum 003-03 was repeated, and SCP-003-1 again entered a growth state. After 10 minutes and 13 seconds, SCP-003-2 once again produced a sustained radiation spike. SCP-003-1's growth stopped for 36 seconds, then resumed at its previous pace. On quadrupling its mass, SCP-003-1 formed a coherent outer shell and body. After appearing to scan its environment and partially converting its environment, SCP-003-1 then breached containment, entering the observation gallery where 9 members of M03-Gloria were present. On physical contact with team members, SCP-003-1 encompassed them in rapidly grown appendages and stopped growth for 15 minutes. SCP-003-1 then resumed growth and arranged the component parts of the center of its form to the shape of a 3-meter-tall female humanoid, with peripheral tentacles shifting to extrude primarily from SCP-003-1's newly formed hair and spine. SCP-003-1 then produced rudimentary vocalizations in an apparent initial attempt to communicate with researchers. Data expunged. An unknown individual approached the compromised containment area in company of a full squad of agents. The individual claimed to be acting on orders of 05-10 and attempted communication with SCP-003-1. Data expunged. Following this incident, Agent Jackson of M03-Gloria successfully restored power to SCP-003-2 and activated backup generators to return the temperature to 100 degrees Celsius. SCP-003-1 returned to its normal state in 21 minutes and 7 seconds and was successfully recontained without incident. All 9 members of M03-Gloria affected by SCP-003-1 were afterwards found to be physically unharmed with no residual effects besides psychological trauma. The converted material of SCP-003's former containment area did not dissolve and are now under analysis. Addendum 003-05. In light of the previous incident, 05-10 was removed from the 05 Council by joint decision of 05-redacted, 05-redacted, and 05-redacted. M03-Gloria procedures have been indefinitely suspended. Item number, SCP-004. Object class, Euclid. When handling items SCP-004-2 through SCP-003-13, proper procedure is vital. The items are not permitted to be moved off-site unless accompanied by two Level 4 security personnel. Under no circumstances should any other component of SCP-004 be taken through SCP-004-1. The effects of doing so are as of yet unknown, and the current cost of experimentation makes further research impractical. Should any of the objects contained within SCP-003-1 breach containment, or the facility be breached, the keys must be brought inside and the door closed prior to the activation of Site-62's on-site warhead. Unauthorized removal of keys from the testing area is grounds for immediate termination. Level 1 clearance is required for basic access to SCP-004-1. Level 4 clearance is required for use of SCP-004-2 to -13. SCP-004 consists of an old wooden barn door, SCP-004-1, and a set of 12 rusted steel keys, SCP-004-2 through SCP-004-13. The door itself is an entrance to an abandoned factory in Data Expunged. Chronological History. July 2nd, 1949. A group of three juveniles trespassing on federal property near Redacted find the door. According to their testimony, they found a set of rusted keys in an iron lockbox and determined what door the keys unlock. The juveniles are taken into custody after they contact Sheriff Redacted when one of their friends, SCP-004-CAS-01, goes missing. July 3rd, 1949. Local authorities find the severed right hand of SCP-004-CAS-01, 8 kilometers from SCP-004-1. Other parts of SCP-004-CAS-01's body are found scattered as far as 32 kilometers from the factory. Under interrogation, the apprehended juveniles tell authorities that upon opening the door with one of the keys, SCP-004-CAS-01 was torn into several pieces, each of which disappeared. At this point, the SCP Foundation takes over the investigation. July 4th, 1949. SCP agent, Redacted, obtains the keys from the local authorities to begin testing. Tests show that SCP-004-2 through SCP-004-13 all fit into a single lock on the large barred door. 12 Class D personnel are assigned to test the effects of the door. Of the 12 test subjects, each trying a different key to enter the room, only two survive. Opening the door with any key except SCP-004-7 or SCP-004-12 caused the test subjects to be torn apart in multiple directions. However, no dismembered parts were found until later. At the time of writing, only two parts of each subject have been recovered. With the exception of the subject using SCP-004-redacted, whose pieces were scattered in close proximity. The others have, for all intents and purposes, vanished from existence. Of the two surviving subjects, only one, having used SCP-004-7, returned unharmed. The other came back in a near catatonic state, able only to remove himself from the room and then collapse on the floor, and had to be restrained to prevent himself from gouging out his eyes. See Appendix A, Mental Health Effects of SCP-004. The subject, using SCP-004-7, said that he had entered a large room, impossibly big for the size of the attached building. After his exit, SCP-004-1 was propped open and an armed squad of Level 3 personnel entered. The size of the room is impossible to measure, and the door frame and the individuals in the room are the only part of the room that can be felt or illuminated. July 16, 1949. The juvenile suspects and Sheriff Redacted are terminated. August 2, 1949. Redacted is declared a hazardous area due to unexploded ordnance and fences erected in order to prevent civilian ingress. Tests to determine safety of exposure to environment behind SCP-004-1 begin. December 1, 1950. Space-time anomalies resulting from exposure to SCP-004 are confirmed. Testing is suspended until further notice. July 2, 19, Redacted. The unaccounted-for remains of SCP-004-CAS-01 appear unexpectedly outside SCP-004-1. Despite being killed decades ago, the remains of SCP-004-CAS-01 are not decomposed in any manner and are still warm to the touch. Blood remains uncoagulated. The remains are remanded for testing. July 4, 19, Redacted. The unaccounted-for remains of one of the 12 original test subjects appear in a similar manner to those of SCP-004-CAS-01. The results have been designated SCP-004-CAS-02. Records suggest that both SCP-004-CAS-01 and CAS-02 used SCP-004-redacted. March 21, 1999. With the massive proliferation of nuclear weapons and World War III only redacted years away, construction has begun on a site inside SCP-004-1. The site is to stock supplies for redacted person days. April 21, 1999. Redacted has ordered the site inside SCP-004-1 to be expanded to include emergency storage for all mobile SCP-redacted specimens and a redacted-petabyte database for the storage of all SCP data. The facility is now referred to as Site-62. September 25, 2000. Site-62 is operational. Labs and containment units are complete and can contain the most dangerous specimens. Backup of the SCP database has begun. January 25, 2001. Due to time anomalies, see space-time anomalies below. All personnel working at Site-62 are now required to reside on-site permanently. Families of personnel are to be informed that loved ones perished in an industrial accident. Cloned bodies have been prepared for funeral. August 14, 2003. Massive power outage across Northeast United States and through Canada. Due to the initial failure of multiple SCP generators, Site-62 was without power for 53 minutes. During those 53 minutes, those on site were completely without any source of light. They reported sensing creatures and people, although no abnormal entities could be seen or felt. Selected facility personnel were allowed to read Redacted, Appendix A, and said that the creatures sensed were of humanoid size, but otherwise similar to the massive green creature described. Space-time anomalies. SCP-004 seems to propagate spatiotemporal anomalies. Personnel leaving the facility report losing time. Those who have been on the site for weeks insist that they have only been in the facility for several days, and records of work completed and supplies consumed support their claims. Other temporal anomalies involve SCP-004-2 through 13, especially the reappearance of SCP-004-CAS-01 and SCP-004-CAS-02 exactly redacted years after using SCP-004-redacted. Redacted has been assigned to investigate all aspects of these time anomalies. Spatial anomalies include the impossibly large dimensions of the area opened by SCP-004-7. Similarly, the 2003 blackout incident suggests that there exists an alternate plane of existence within the same space that Site-62 occupies. Additional notes. Testing on SCP-004 reveals that 10 of the keys open SCP-004-1 on a dimension where the laws of physics and topology are significantly different than those of our home dimension. Test subjects meeting these hostile conditions are torn apart, their body parts deposited in various locations, only 3 of which have been verified to be on Earth. Material deposited at 2 of these points appears immediately. Material deposited at the 3rd appears exactly redacted, years into the future. The other 7 locations are currently unknown. Current testing focuses on 2 avenues of research. The first is finding ways to survive SCP-004's hostile topologies. The second, data expunged, suggests that SCP-004-2 through 13 may open doors other than SCP-004-1. Appendix A. Mental health effects of SCP-004-12. All Class D personnel using SCP-004-12 return in a catatonic state, unable to speak. Some may have enough energy left to try to claw out their eyes. Of the 16 subjects, only 4 have survived. Only 1 has regained speech following long-term psychotherapy. He was able to tell the psychiatrist that he saw a massive green creature, so large that much of its body extended beyond his field of view. He reported innate fear and sudden recognition, as if it were something buried deep in his primal fears, and forced implantation of incomprehensible memories. Subject displays acute anterograde and retrograde amnesia. Appendix B. Additional information. Item number, SCP-004-14. Date of discovery, September 2nd, 1950. Origin of object. Object was discovered elsewhere in factory area in the previously undiscovered manager's office. Description. Object appears as a large, unvarnished wooden box. The box may be unlocked by the safe key, SCP-004-7, as well as 5 of the unsafe keys. See document SCP-004-1. Upon unlocking SCP-004-14 with SCP-004-7, the box opens automatically on hinges. The volume of the space inside is precisely 3 times greater than the outer dimensions imply. Items placed within while the lid remains open do not affect the weight or any other properties of the box. When the lid is closed and locked, however, all items inside vanish irretrievably. Personnel locked inside the box are also irretrievable, although losing personnel in this fashion appears to affect significantly the dreams experienced by data expunged. Item number, SCP-005. Object class, safe. Special containment procedures. SCP-005 poses no immediate risk in any direct sense. Even so, its unique functions require special measures be taken to restrict access and manipulation of the object. approval of at least one Level 4 personnel is required for the removal of the object from its containment area. Description: in appearance, SCP-005 resembles an ornate key, displaying the characteristics of a typical mass-produced key used in the 1920s. The key was discovered when a civilian used it to infiltrate a high-security facility. SCP-003 seems to have the unique ability to open any and all forms of lock, see Appendix A, be they mechanical or digital, with relative ease. The origin of this ability has yet to be determined. Additional notes: SCP-005 may be used as a replacement for large security passes, but only under the supervision of at least one Level 4 personnel. SCP-005 may not be used for vending machine repairs, opening lockers, or for any personnel's spare home key. Removal of the object from the compound will result in immediate termination. Appendix A. While SCP-005 has been shown to be effective in removing almost any form of locking device, further experiments have shown that efforts to disguise the purpose or identity of a lock have proven at least somewhat successful in defeating SCP-005's ability. In approximately 50% of cases where a volunteer was not able to identify a locking device as such, SCP-005 was not successful in deactivating the device. Due to these results, SCP-005 has been tentatively classified as sentient, and further tests are being run to determine its cognitive abilities. However, there are no results that show any traits that prevent it from being able to identify any particular looking device. However, there are no results that show any traits that prevent it from being able to identify any particular locking device, only that the aforementioned device has been heavily concealed and disguised.